Hosting for this podcast is made possible through mtgcast.com, which is supported by a generous contribution from quietspeculation.com, Magic's premier trading and financial news site.
No. Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, you religious followers? I'm Heavy Metal.
And I'm Matty Studios.
And I'm the Ferret.
And you're listening to Heavy Meta, you maze-running motherfuckers.
Whoa, alright people, we are here. This is the episode where we've gotten, 85, 90 fucking booze cube submissions. I don't even know. And we had to bring on, there's no way we could choose these things by ourselves because, well, frankly, we're fucking drunk and retarded. So we had to bring, the master, Scotty Mac, to help us. Say hello, Scotty.
Hello, Scotty.
There you go. And with Scotty, of course, you had to bring the guy that invented the booze cube, Mr. Booze Cube. Congratulations. You're on Heavy Meta.
What's up?
Yes. So.
Hey, on. See, this is awesome. This is like full circle for me because fucking Scotty's the one that introduced me to the Booze Cube and changed my life. And then we got the guy that fucking invented it. And then here we are fucking on our cast with them to read off some of these fucking cards that I cannot believe you motherfuckers came up with. Blows me away. Like Maddie said, we're a bunch of drunks. Like, we figured we'd get 3-4 people submit a fucking card. All of a sudden, we've got like tons of them and can't keep track of them anymore. And so we had to bring on some help.
So before, I have to ask this because I don't know. Has the Booze Cube ever been on a cast before where he's like talked about the Booze Cube?
I haven't really talked about the Booze Cube on a cast. I was on that Collective Blessing one talking about religion.
Oh.
Kind of ironic.
Okay, wow. So this is the wrong cast. So then I have to ask, because I think early on in one of the episodes, I asked, like, who the fuck came up with the Booze Cube? And Kevin Mel's like, oh, he's a lawyer. And I was like, what? So I have to, before we start the episode, and I know a lot of people want to know this question, like, how the hell did you start this? And are you really a lawyer?
Yeah.
Nice.
Dude, you have no idea. Like, lawyers as a profession, we have the highest rate of alcoholism of any other profession.
Now, you don't know the Wizards of the Coast lawyer that's our friend and buddy, do you? Because if you did.
The one that we talk all sorts of shit about.
Not to assume that all lawyers are like a cult.
Yeah, all lawyers know each other.
But, no, there's way too many lawyers in this country.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is true.
No, you didn't know that, Maddie? Like, all lawyers secretly know each other.
Yeah, well,
they all have a big Rolodex.
I'm pretty sure it's like Skull and Bones where, like, all the lawyers get together. And when you become a lawyer, you, like, whip your dick out and you each tap each other or something. And it's like, we will now always communicate via mentally. I don't know. No, maybe not.
No, that's actually a class in your third year.
Oh, like the whole class, yeah.
So how did you come up with the Booze Cube? Because, like, in all honesty, I have to say, when I first heard about the Booze Cube via A-Team and Scotty Mac and Jay Boosh talking about it, I was a bit skeptical, and I was like, well, it sounds like it could be fun, and then it actually is really fun. And then Kevin Metal, like, he can't stop talking about it, and I realized, like, I can't wait to play it, like, in Vegas here with a bunch of real Booze Cubers, but
it really is an incredible...
Go on.
Yeah, I'm bringing the original one, so.
Hell yes.
Oh, shit. So tell me, how did you start this thing?
So it was, I guess, sort of a two-step process. So I've always been big into drinking games, and all the way going back to high school. I used to play, all, like, Circle of Death and Quarters and all that shit. So one of my buddies from law school and I, about a year after we graduated, went over to hang out at his place, do some ice fishing, get drunk, and play. And we decided we'd play Magic. Either of us hadn't played Magic in years and years and years, but we decided we would turn it into a drinking game where we decided that basically instead of life totals, we didn't even have life totals. If you took a point of damage, you drank. If your opponent gained life, or if you gained life, you could make your opponent drink. So it was just all kind of relative drinking. And we were playing for a while and it actually kind of sucked. My buddy and I, we both have absurdly high tolerances. Time we hung out, the first day that we hung out this past summer, he drank a 24 pack and I drank a bottle of vodka.
That was awesome. There you go. Oh,
wow. All right. So you're way better than me, Kevin.
He's professional. He's a lawyer.
I mean, I did pass out in a plate of fajitas afterwards.
Nice.
But in any case, so we were drinking and we were playing with booze as life totals, but it really sucked because we had no incentive to block. It really wasn't a game. We just like, okay, I'm going to hit you with this. All right, I'll drink. All right, I'll drink. And we got really bored and ended up just going to the bar because we were just getting bored. It wasn't really a game. So right. Fast forward a couple of years, I actually get back into Magic again, seriously, and I discover Commander, and I decide that I really want to build a bug deck, but Borash is the only commander that's available at the time because the set precons hadn't been released yet, and Damia and Minioplasm and all that were non-existent. So I decided I wanted to make a custom commander. So I downloaded Magic Set Editor and I created Borat as a bug color general originally.
Nice.
And awesome. Then I decided. And so I'd also just kind of gotten into one of my friends built a cube. He has a badass cube. And we were playing that and I decided, hey, it would be cool to make a card. While I have this program, I can make cards that would be drinking cards. When my buddy and I played Magic drinking the very first time where it was just booze as life totals, the problem was that it wasn't really a game.
You know, right.
Drinking was the pure object. It didn't do anything. But if you turned drinking and integrated it as a mechanic.
Yeah, when I saw Booze Touch and how you were doing like that, I was like, this is brilliant. Because you can play it with other cards.
Yeah, I had done the same thing. I had played hey, I'm an alcoholic and I play Magic, and I'm sure plenty of us out there have done the same thing where you just, you find a drinking way to play Magic, which usually ends up being that, just your life totals or whenever you take a point of damage. And it does, it changes the incentive of, blocking or, doing anything in the game. You're like, fuck it, I'm just going to get drunk. But what cracked me up was when, I was always trying to think of a good way to do this. And then when fucking Scotty told me, Scotty told the world about the fucking booze cube on the A-team, it was like that fucking smack in the face. I was like, oh, shit, that is genius.
The worst part about that, too, is that you're the only one that actually remembers giving me any credit for being the one to break it out. Everyone's like, no, it was all Jay. It was all Jay. I'm like,
No.
Well, and to be fair, the only reason I remember that is because I think it was like the same episode that you talked about me on the A team. So I probably listened to it like 40 times because I love myself. Sure. Anyway, Booze Cube, go ahead. Booze Cube.
Oh, well, yeah.
Anyway, your real name, man?
Real name is Scott. But it probably would get confusing with Scotty Mac up here, too.
So. That's okay. I can go by Scotty, and that's totally okay.
So we got Scott and Scotty.
Yeah,
right on. I just feel like a dick calling you Booze Cube all the time.
We can call him Borat, and it's all good.
Yeah.
He's nice.
Yeah, you're nice.
So the card that really, the card that, what?
No,
the
so what I...
kind of made the Booze Cube gel as a thing was actually Necropotence. Because that was when I realized that you could actually make drinking into something, not just okay, so I hit you, now you drink, but drinking as a cost just kind of was the catalyst that sent the whole thing into motion.
Very cool. Now, whose idea was it? Like, was the game always meant to be played as an add-on to additional cards? Because a lot of people, when I read stuff online, I think they're confused that Booze Cube is meant to be played with Magic cards. It's not meant to be played just with Booze cards, right? Is that true or is that false?
Right.
Right, right, yes. Right.
I mean, basically, it's meant to, I want it to integrate seamlessly into real existing Magic cards. I want to make enough cards to where if you just wanted to play with the Booze Cube and just those cards that you could, but really, I mean, like my personal Booze Cube, it's about probably 25% real cards because, you know, I want to play with fucking Naturalizer and O-Ring and, you know,
sure.
Cards are good because Wizards designed them because they're good.
Yeah. Now, I mean,
I think it's kind of funny.
Well, see, that's what's fucking great too. I don't have enough people like, you know, my play group is fucking either two or four people. And so I don't have enough people to play locally with my friends and shit, like a full, you know, 8-player fucking draft. And so since it's like, since I fucking downloaded the shit and fucking printed them all out, like I've been playing straight Booze Cube cards. That's it. And then we're, you know, in the beginning it was like, oh, it's lacking some removal. So we threw in probably 15 to 20, like your basic, you know, Go for the Throat, Doomblade, fucking Naturalize, Disenchant, shit like that. Just to take care of some of that shit that you could never get rid of. And that's it. We played just straight, which might explain why I keep passing out cards in hand with my face on the table. But
was that the
and I do have to say real quick, like, I finally, this past weekend, I got, the expansion stuff that you've been doing and printed out all those cards, added them to the cube, which is awesome because now it's fucking way bigger. And there's only one problem with playtesting the Booze Cube. I don't remember a fucking thing.
So the thing I can tell you about that, the expansion is because I was gracious enough. Scott sent it to me for my birthday.
Nice.
So, like, I printed it all out, and my Booze Cube is straight Booze Cube as well. Like, there are no regular Magic cards in it outside of, like, basic lands. But what I found with the expansion is there's a whole huge, quality investment in removal. Like,
yes.
It was almost impossible to keep creatures on the table for very long. Like, there was a lot of cards that just killed shit all day. And a lot of the green guys have that, like, Casali Pride Mage ability where you just like sack it to kill the troublesome permanent. So I was really impressed with it afterwards. And, you know, I mean, seriously, like 20, 30 more cards and you could fucking call this thing like a full done set. Like you would, there'd be no need to play any additional cards.
Now, what I'm hoping is that
right now what I'm working on is mostly creatures.
Right on.
Now, are you ever going to do anti-booze touch? Like to even out all the booze touch cards, like it's almost like poison and then like remove poison counters, you know?
Booze touch in my, like booze touch isn't that bad.
Well, it's not like I can regenerate your liver.
You have to make that card right now. It's called liver transplant. You start the game at 20 life again.
Yeah. That actually,
you have to drink coffee for the rest of the game.
Liver transplant can be an instant. It can be like in response to drinks, and you can say like target player drinks for every drink you would drink this turn.
Ooh, yeah, make somebody else get fucking dead.
And it's a liver transplant, right?
Liver cancer.
Yeah, they get your dirty liver. That's awesome. So I mean,
In the expansion, there are sort of cards like that, like fish stick.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sort of redirect for drinking. Or
yeah, that's true. I do remember seeing.
Another card I just finished up this afternoon called. I still haven't hammered out the name entirely, but it's basically like a blue card. It's a tiki god, like a Hawaiian tiki dude, avatar creature. I think right now he's like a 6/7, but basically he allows you to redirect a spell that targets one player and makes you drink to another player.
Nice.
Ooh, brutal.
So that's almost going to be like a sub-archetype. It's going to be like a sub-archetype in Blue, where like you're just like fucking with everyone else's drinking plans. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So Blue's ability is to just get everyone else drunk and steal all their shit when they're a bastard.
Well, that's kind of it. You know, Blue was actually the hardest one to come up in the color pie and figure out how it worked with drinking, because, you know, blue is the color of the mind. It doesn't want its mind diluted. But then I realized, you know, Blue wants everybody else to get fucked up, because then it's the smartest guy in the room.
I love that. That's awesome.
And that's what it's still like. It's still every time I fucking play it, every time I think about it, it blows me away. Like how much fucking thought you put into this set. You didn't just start, you know, mimicking fucking normal magic creatures and just saying, oh, it's got booze touch instead of regular damage. And that's it. Like there's so much thought put into this set that it's fucking amazing. I play Booze Cube more than I play fucking regular magic now. So
now, you know what I would love to see happen is, cause I think Booze Cube is one of those things where you play with friends and it's like, it's a whole like social game. And what I would love, like with seeing how our fans are contributing to the contest alone, I'm almost wondering, well, yeah. If someone ever figures out how to hack Moto to have Booze Cube cards, that would be insane. But no, what I was hoping is that maybe the casts out there, because I know several casts have kind of done their own versions of Booze Cube cards, but it'd be kind of neat if we kind of, or if you, because you're the Booze Cube master, you said, hey, you could put out mini expansion sets. So let's say it's the Heavy Meta Season 1 15 card expansion set. And if you want, you can add it to your card if you like the show, or you're like, maybe the A Team will do one, or Brainstorm Brewer, or somebody will do one. And it'd be kind of neat, because then you could add a bit of like flavor to your cube. Of some of the shows you like. So I thought that would be kind of an interesting way for the community to make little mini sets and you slot them in. Cause I know I would laugh my ass off if I got some of these cards.
I fucking,
cards alone.
That's what, like I said, yeah, like, well, right
I was working
off the bat.
A while.
Go ahead.
I was working with Marcel on, from Brainstorm Brewery on doing a community expansion. And we got a number of submissions, actually not as many submissions as y'all got. Although it was a lot closer to the time that I released the Booze Cube, so it wasn't
right.
It hadn't been out there quite so long. But you know, some of those cards are still pretty good, and you know, a couple of them I've actually been testing out in my Booze Cube. But I think, you know, it might be possible we could combine all these things and really kind of hash them out. It needs a lot of development work, but there's
some
of the cards definitely have potential.
Yeah, I mean, like, to quote Tyrone, it's...
At Vegas, we can definitely figure some of this shit out.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now,
nothing... It better have some sort of video camera or recording device going on, because the chances that we're going to remember anything we learned in Vegas are
okay.
Fucking slim.
So if any of you have iPads, okay, you can download the Justin TV Broadcaster app, and you can just, like... prop your iPad up and put the camera facing the game and just live stream it. Go.
Oh, I love it.
Well, wait a minute. iPads have a streaming app from the...
Well, we need a network connection, so.
Damn it. Does Android have one like that?
No, it's balls. Makes me upset.
Well, we'll figure some. But anyway, so move on to some of the cards that we've gotten, because I gotta say again, I mean, I know I said this last time, but Heavy Meta, SUV guys, this is just insane. And to quote Tyrone, like, if we're gonna do, like, cast expansions, it's all about flavor. It's not even about the power of the cards, it's about the flavor of the cards, in my opinion. I could be wrong, but some of these are just fucking hilarious. So what we're gonna do, folks, we've got five of us on the cast. We've got all your submissions in. We've looked them over for the last, like, 3.5 hours in the cave here. We've rigorously gone through them all. And what we're going to do
did
is...
Did you just say religiously?
Yeah, no, I'm religiously
following. We've religiously gone through them.
Yes. Speaking of religiously, some motherfucker made a curse go religiously following, which is brilliant. But anyways, we'll get to that in a second. But what we're going to do is we're each going to pick our favorite card and a runner-up. So we're going to have 10 cards that we're going to let you guys vote on, and you guys vote, and then we'll decide who wins. But to start it off,
Yeah, because we're those kind of dicks that we told you we were going to announce a winner this cast, and then we're going to make you guys vote and then tell you next cast.
Hey, you guys are actually lucky, because I was going to just say, okay, Maddie, go ahead and put them all up on this on a site and make all of you guys make top three votes and then figure it out from there, because we'll just count it up.
Listen, I don't want to insult the Heavy Metal SUV, but you only about two of you understood to put a fucking hashtag on the fucking cards so I could find them. So I'm trying to make this easy on you guys. So I'm not going to go first. I'm going to let somebody else go first. Maybe one of our guests. I think Scotty Mac, maybe he should go first and tell us a couple of his chosen cards and read them out and give me your impressions of them and tell me what you think, sir.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to pick... I absolutely have to just pick the low-hanging fruit here. The first place one that I'm going to pick is – I'm just scrolling through to make sure that I find it to get the – okay, there it is. Angry Korean shop owner.
Oh,
okay.
Insane.
It's red, red four, so it's appropriately costed for a legendary creature businessman. Okay, it's a 5/5 with booze touch. And it says, whenever a source you control causes an opponent to drink, you may have Angry Korean Shop Owner fight target creature that player controls.
Now, how good is that for flavor alone? Just the flavor that he's an Angry Korean Shop Owner and he fights you is just awesome.
So what's awesome, though, is the flavor text is just, Shakao, motherfucker! It's so good.
You have to have Polish tamales do that voice, and then you have to have that like audio thing when you cast him. It's like, oh, you think you're so good, eh?
Yeah.
You cast him. So who's your runner-up then, if that's your first choice?
So my runner-up is the one that actually didn't want to be submitted in the first place, but really should have been. Because this card is just like, without a shadow of a doubt, the full flavor of your show. Like, just think that it's the best one that I've seen, aside from Angry Korean Shop Owner, because who doesn't want to play the card and just say, I summon
Angry Korean
Shop Owner to the battlefield?
No shit.
That's pretty awesome. So the card is, of course, by the proxy guy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and I mean, like, he does such good work with all of the stuff, right? And so the card is called Go Fuck Yourself, San Diego.
And you know what he did? Like, you tell me, looking at it for the first time. It's the entire execution. He's like, it's almost like he's cheating. He goes super art. He goes super art, too. And he knows no one has the ability to go super art. And he's just like, yeah, in your face, fuckers. Like,
actually, some people did, though, Maddie.
I know. They figured it out once Foxy Guy stepped the game up. They're like, oh, shit, he's going to win his own prize.
Yeah. So he ends up – so it's an enchantment. It costs red, green, and white. I'm not sure I like the colors in it, but I understand that it's trying to go with the –
world enchantment.
Male's aura. So that's sort of the same sort of card. At the beginning of your end step, if you have 7 or more empty drinks, you win the game. Only drinks consumed during normal gameplay count towards this total. And the flavor text is a hockey player, a rock god, and a ferret sit in a darkened cave.
It's just so brilliant. Yeah. And it's actually a card that, like, it's a great card for Boost Cube because it's an alternative win condition before you're, like, as Kevin says, passed out and people are calling on your cell phone like, Kevin, I guess I won this one.
Seriously, Kevin actually resolves this card. He may win a game of Boost Cube.
Yeah, exactly.
I very well might. Exactly. That's why I'm putting it in mine.
He's going to sneak in a 4-of set in there.
Seriously, it sucks because, like, no matter – it usually ends up being me and fucking Daniel playing. And every single fucking time that dude just outlasts me is all it is. Like, I will draft some really good shit. Now, of course, I'm already a bad Magic player. But, like, I'm okay. And I will draft a fucking good deck. And I'm like, all right, dude, it's fucking on. It's so on. And every time I come anywhere close to winning, I'm pretty sure Daniel starts slipping roofies into my drink. Because I'm staring at the fucking table like, all right. It's hard to read these cards while they're running in circles around each other. How the fuck am I going to win? Okay, I got this. I got this. And then I'm asleep. I wake up the next morning. My girlfriend's pissed.
So, Kevin, here it is. There's another curse, because I love curses. You have to make the roofie curse, which is if target player would take a drink, they take twice that many drinks. And that's the roofie curse. So it counteracts the fuck you said, Diego.
Oh, I love it.
All right, so, Kevy, you want to choose yours?
Okay.
All right, what?
I'm drinking. You should let Scott go next. He made the fucking thing.
All right, Scott. All right. Yes. Booze cube. Scotty. Yes. Scott. Go.
Yeah, Scott.
Scott.
All right, my... yeah, booze cube, whatever. Doesn't fucking matter.
Let's go, boy, let's go.
So my pick is... definitely, my first choice is... Go Fuck Yourself, San Diego, by Miles.
Ooh, all right.
I fucking love this card.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, I think I would, if I was actually going to put it in, I think I would, there's definitely a few things I would change up. I would cut the white because,
really?
One, I'm trying to avoid, at least in my cube, I try to avoid three colors in a single thing just because it's harder to manage at the moment.
Okay.
Right. Well, one thing I have noticed too is like there's so many double color casting costs that, yeah, it is hard to go three colors and actually be able
to. You know, it's interesting you mentioned that. Someone did make a little card, Heavy Medic Cave, where if you drink, then you add one mana of any color. That'd fix your problem right there.
Yeah, all I gotta say right now is I know it's
well,
not,
that's
I know.
Basically, Phyrexian Frat House.
Oh,
yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Right.
So here's my idea to sidetrack. Because we like sidetracking here. That's what we do. But if you ever released a Power 9 set, which was like, if you really wanted to add this Power 9 to your booze cube, if you're really crazy. But if you imagine if you had a booze rocks, and I know this is very dangerous because it can get to like insane things. But if you had to find a way to make a zero casting cost, like, Mox, but with booze touch or something, like, well, not booze touch, but like you drink to cast and then it's cumulative. And I know Booze Cube already, I tweeted this before, and he's like, this is a game for drunks and it has to be simple.
Yeah.
Because the more complex you make the card, they read it.
Yep.
But I thought that would be interesting.
There were a few cards I actually cut because they were too hard when I was drunk.
That's why I was so stoked that you changed Lounge Guardian in the fucking newer version of the set, because I was like, man, I don't even draft that card because I'm sick of trying to read
card, it. I don't remember, like, when I'm drinking, I don't remember what the fuck it does. I designed the thing.
That's
so I'm not the only one. I love it.
That's a test right there. The card fails if you can't remember it. All right, so Scott, so what is your runner up then? If you've clearly chosen Fuck You, San Diego for your pick,
but he did want to make some changes. So, let's hear those.
The other thing the big thing that I would change. I mean, the concept is fucking amazing. The art, obviously, is
awesome. Is
but the concept is beautiful. But what I would do to change it is because the rules already incorporate the normal gameplay drinking, I would do is just whenever you finish your game beverage, put a counter on it. If it has seven or more counters on it, you win the game. And maybe a clause at the beginning that says, when this comes into play, refill your game beverage so that you start out at a full one.
Oh, yeah.
That's bad. Also, then, if you've got ways to like bounce stuff, like somebody boomerangs the permanent with there's a new bounce spell or whatever where you can like kicker it and it bounces the permanent. So like they can get up to like six drinks
and then they bounce it and then they got to
start again. That's awesome.
And that is the fuck you, San Diego.
Yeah,
that's
I love
brutal.
Exactly. Well, that's why I added Shroud. Did you all play with Hookah Demon? Did I send that to you in the beta cube?
No.
It's the alt win condition for black. The 4/4 demon where.
Oh, yeah. Hookah Demon's fucking awesome, but I didn't get it.
Sorry, so he's 4/4. He take a shot, what?
Yeah, we played with that. Whenever a player takes a shot, you put a counter on him. If you have seven or more counters on it, you win the game.
Oh.
That's good. Everybody's in awe. They're like, ooh.
Yeah. I actually, we played this. My buddy had a bachelor party a couple of weeks ago, And so I brought the booze cube, and that's kind of what we did. And the original version of Hookah Demon was
Herc-a-Dumon.
At Spring Shop, but it didn't have Shroud. I drafted Necropotence. Originally, I was just going to draft like Black Green Reanimator, and then somebody passed me Necropotent, and that was that for the night.
Right.
But I had that out, and I drank half a bottle of vodka, and I still couldn't get it off because of the fucking bounce.
Wow.
Right.
So, I had a Shroud.
Yeah, that's actually a good idea for that. But man, I love the whole fucking thought of that. Like you were talking about, Scotty, the fucking let him get to six counters and then bounce it. It's such a dick move.
I'm so excited.
Well, on an enchantment, that's not so bad.
Yeah.
All right, so which
one? Runner-up is definitely a tough – it's definitely a tough one. I'd say probably functionality. Definitely the Kevy Metal Rock God.
I like that one too, yeah.
The Haste Intoxicated. Yeah, functionally, that one is very well designed.
Mm.
Flavor-wise, my favorite, in terms of, is definitely the Nina the Cardboard Witch.
Yes.
I've been trying to make a waterfall type mechanic work since the very beginning. And this one, it doesn't quite get there in terms of the complexity is the hard part. The original waterfall enchantment I cut or really completely redid because it was way too complicated and it was terrible to play with.
Yeah.
But, and this one, the mechanic is definitely closer to where I'd like it to be. It's not quite there yet, but it definitely is on the right track.
But I agree with that. I love that one.
Sweet card.
Man, so the whole thing is like, it's not cumulative, right? So the last person doesn't take 3 times 3 times 3 times 3. It's just they lose 3 life. Right?
Anybody can bail out early and they only lose
3. Oh, okay, okay. Right. Gotcha. Yeah, that's a card, man.
You know what's funny? Because like, I feel like waterfall, like the fixed waterfall is a sorcery. I actually think that card's just perfect the way it is. Like the enchantment, I think, was insane, it's changed to be a sorcery. So it's like blue, right. Red X, and then it's like okay, so it starts the waterfall as X drinks. So like whoever's on the left, like from you as the caster, they have to drink X, and then the person afterwards drinks X minus one, and then X minus one from that, and X minus one from that all around the table. So it basically
cool
becomes
too.
Like this game-ending fireball.
Yeah, no shit.
It's awesome.
Yeah, although it does fit you, so it's kind of, you got to take that into account.
All right, so Ferret, who's next? Ferret or Kevy? Who
all
wants
right,
to?
I'll take it. All right. I think without doing a Ferret flavored card, Durfitan, the lockdown artist, definitely is my top pick.
All right. One is awesome. You got to read it. Read it for us.
Okay.
That one's pretty good.
Durfitan, the Lockdown Artist. It's a 1/2 white creature for 1 white. His ability is 1 white and tap him. Detain target non-land permanent and opponent controls unless that permanent's owner drinks equal to that permanent's converted mana cost.
Yeah, that should be simplified, right? Like to just be one drink. All right, because that's kind of like confusing, no?
How is it confusing? You drink according to the converted mana cost.
Well, that's true. Shit, I don't want them to tap down no Kevin, or what is it, Anger Cruise Shop Orders.
Right, there you go. And then, well, since Nina Cardboard Witch ended up getting stolen, because I thought that was an amazing card too.
Yes.
I'm going to have to go with the Ferret Zap and Weave, because they didn't go with the Bug Zapper on this one. They actually came up with something that was appropriate for a Ferret, Hexproof and Haste, and then the fact that, like, I disappear every now and then with Exile, the Ferret, return him to the battlefield under owner's control at the beginning of the next end step. And then he has another ability, which is for red mana, tap him, deal 1 damage to target creature or player. And then the last ability is whenever the Ferret enters the battlefield or deals damage to a creature or a player, that player takes 1 drink.
That's good, man.
That's badass.
That is.
I was like, that's awesome. Oh, and it's Is It. So it's blue and red for a 2-1.
Nice. So what about your runner up? Or that was your
that was the runner up.
All right, Kevy, what is your winner and your
all
runner
right.
up?
I gotta say, like, I hate to even do this because, like, it almost seems unfair because he's on the cast with us, but I have to give my fucking winner to fucking, like, or my favorite card out of all of them. And this is so hard too because there's so fucking many really, really good ones.
Well, now, before you say it, now you get a winner and you get a runner up, so.
Right. Well, but dude, I need like fucking 12 runners.
Yeah. Well, you can't. You gotta pick two, man.
No, so I've got two of them. I gotta go right. Fucking, my winner is fucking Maddie Keeper of the Peace. Fucking
fucker.
Oh my god, I lost my shit. This one was from Scott. But I got, I lost it when I fucking read this. And it's, what's great is like, I'll read mine too because they
well,
they
read mine
together.
First. Read mine.
But yeah, the one that that wins, definitely, Maddie Keeper of the Peace. It's fucking blue, white, and three colorless. Legendary creature, human palladian. Protection from, he's a 4/4. Protection from intoxicated. Blue, white, and tap it. Wildly speculate about a card in a target opponent's hand.
Oh,
that
awesome.
Opponent reveals their hand. If the card is present, prevent all drinks this turn. If you control Maddie, Keeper of the Peace, and Kevy, Disturber of the Shit, you win. Not win the game. You just win, like, at life.
You're winners. Now you gotta read.
I seriously, I lost my shit when fucking I saw that one, and it's great too because that he also has me because you know to win you have to have both of them. This isn't my runner up, by the way. I'm not giving them both to Scotty, but I had to pick one of these two, and the Maddie one just killed me. But then you've got Kevy, Disturber of the Shit, red, black, and two. A legendary creature, human demon. Kevy, Disturber of the Shit, is intoxicated. Kevy, Disturber of the Shit, gets X plus O for each shot taken this turn. By the way, I'm a 5-2.
Can I say real quick?
Yes, go ahead.
I actually worked very hard on the power and toughness. This was something that I thought of very clearly. Like, Maddie, I've met. So, like, Maddie, I know. I've seen this man. Like, I understand him in stature. Mm-hmm. So, like, a 4-4 is very good, right? And Kevy, I mean, you've just very clearly been, you know, I'm a little guy, but I will beat your living fucking face in.
5-2 is accurate. I don't think that's that wrong.
You know, we could have went with 6-1 for, like, ball lightning.
Yeah. I thought about that, but I was more air in the relentless.
Yeah. I
love it, dude. Like I said earlier, it's just almost unfair, like how good you are.
All right, go on, rest of the card.
Oh yeah, okay, rest of the card. So, XX, each player takes X shots. Only red mana can be used to pay X.
Which is so perfect.
It's perfect. And then one black, regenerate Kevy, Disturber of the Shit, and chug a beer. It's fucking amazing.
Like that's brutal, man. Like,
all right, so what's your second pick?
Right,
okay,
yeah.
So my second pick was a hard one. Hold on, I gotta scroll down to read it, but I mean, I shouldn't have to read it because this should be just burned in my memory. If I could play this card in Lightning Bolt for the rest of my life, then I'd be happy.
Oh god, I think I know the card he's
I got
say.
Fucking fuck calm carry bolts. One red instant. Fuck calm, carry bolts, deals 3 damage to target creature or player. If target player drank this turn, fuck calm, carry bolts, does 6 damage instead. It's fucking amazing.
Like, that obviously is too powerful for
people. Oh, absolutely.
But
absolutely.
It's awesome.
I can't not.
You have to.
What is
really like the mechanic. I think I like it's sort of like landfall, except it's more like booze fall.
Yeah, drink fall. Yeah.
Dude, and it's awesome. Like, well, honestly, if that card were, like...
It actually would be very easy to fix. All you do, like, a lot of the blue cards that I've been designing for this, my next, you know, the expansion I'm going to release this summer.
Right.
That, y'all have gotten a taste of. There's sort of a threshold. It's more like, if an opponent has drank 3 this turn, a lot of the blue cards turn on.
Right.
So you could do something very similar with that. You just raise the threshold for how many drink, like, and not just as a single drink. I mean, there's, I have cars that do like drink three total or drink three just as, you know, an instance of one drink X on the stack. But you right. could, if you just raise the total for it one way or the other, very
even
easy
with this one, like possibly like, you know, just off, you know, off the top of my head, like if you were to just change, like if they've drank this turn to like, it, you know, if they've taken a shot this turn, you know, something like that,
yeah.
maybe. and because that's going to happen less often and it's a little more of an ordeal, but if they've, and I mean, you can still use it to your advantage. You can plan it out and just be like, all right, yeah, go ahead. Use Necropotence. There's six instead for one man. I love it. this is how I want Magic to be. Just,
I do like the drink.
I only want it for me. I want to be able to cast one mana red spells and just kill you in two turns. That's it.
I honestly got to say, I mean, I think it was Mildivane that did that one. And it's an interesting mechanic because it's simple, right? Like, if you had a shot, there's like, it's a kicker effect. So I think it's really cool. Like, I actually,
beautiful.
I would love to see.
Like the old card frame.
Oh yeah, the old frames did it, right? And like, I would love to see like that as a yeah. what's it called? A series? No. Well, for one, a cycle, that's it. Already too drunk for the cat. So, a cycle, like one of each card, I think, like a giant growth, you know, like +3/+3, but if you take a shot, it's +6/+6.
Oh, yeah!
I think that would
draw a card.
Or just do +X/+X, the amount of drinks you drink as you've had this turn.
Were those in the beta only, Scott? Because like, there's a bunch of those cards where you can do that now that we played over the weekend. Like, there's like a green one that says like +2/+2 or something, and then it becomes like +4/+4 if you kicker it like with a shit ton of booze.
Well, that's cool. Scott's past that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to remember what I've released and what I haven't.
That's all right, man. We have hazy memories here.
I've been, I've been playing with. The boost cube that I've been playing with is all sorts of, I've been playing with experimental cards for so long that I don't even remember what is actually out there and what isn't. Cause I haven't actually released anything since like, I think August. So at least to the public.
Yeah.
Well, they're awesome, man.
What actually is out there and.
He's like the fucking, I love it, dude. He's like the fucking hammered, drunk, homeless fucking, like, Mark Rosewater. Like, he's just all, I don't even fucking remember what the fuck I put out.
Okay, oh my god. Okay, so Mark Rosewater has Drive to Work. You have to do a podcast called Drunk Driving Nowhere.
Drunk just, driving home from work.
No, because you don't know where you're going. I'm just driving drunk. Just driving drunk. Not that we endorse any of that, but anyways.
Oh, yeah.
So I will wrap up with my picks because.
Yes, we have to have Maddie's picks. Yeah.
So I'll start backwards. I'll start with my runner-up because the one I chose has a story to go with it. But my runner-up has to be Devil's Threesome because the Devil's Threesome story that Kevy told probably had me cracking up the most on cast, I think, in a long time, where I had to mute my fucking mic, because it was just hilarious that, what do you do in a Devil's Threesome? You don't make eye contact. That's what you do, and that's how you get through it. So I'll read the card for you. So it's an instant. It's 3 red. It says, the next time up to 2 target players would drink shots, choose another target player. That player drinks those shots instead. And the flavor text is, no way, I'm not. Ah, fuck it, why not? So, I mean, and the picture alone is just fucking
hilarious. Picture's the best part of that card.
Yeah. Whoever did this, I don't know what porn site you ripped that off of, or if this is like what you just do on the weekends, but awesome. Who knows?
It's a home
yeah.
portrait.
It looks like it's from some college party or something.
Yeah,
but
it does, right? So, and of course, my choice has to be the Shopping Cart of Doom, which, I mean, it was our second or third cast that we did, and the Shopping Cart of Doom is a 2 casting cost artifact. It's an equipment
And it equips for 4, and it taps to deal 2 damage to target creature. Equip creature fights target creature. And the flavor text is, listen, motherfucker, don't bump into me again, or I'll smack you with this value pack of meat. And so that shouts back all the way to the good old Costco story of the guy bumping into me, which, go listen to that in episode 3, which is funny.
Oh, that was hilarious.
So
that was perfect.
So the story of this card, which... it was why I picked it. It's because I picked the card on the greatest reaction I've had, which I gotta be honest, there's like a million cards I could talk about from, you know, oh, there's just so freaking many. All of them, man. All the cards you guys have done, like, have been good. But this one, I was sitting here, and this was after the first round of cards came in. And so it was the morning, and I made a protein shake. It's, like, got blueberries and shit, and it says purple, right? And I took a giant swig of it, and it's in my mouth, and I checked Twitter. And my wife is getting ready to go to work. The kids are got their, you know, putting their stuff in. And I see this link. And I'm like, oh, I click it. And, you know, in Twitter, you open it. And it's Shopping Cart of Doom. And I literally inhaled air. And then the air got behind the shake. And I snorted. So the shake came out my nose. And I'm choking. And it goes all over the computer monitor, all over the keyboard. My wife comes running and thinks I'm having an epileptic seizure. And it looks like it because it's a shake all over. My kids are coming in like, Daddy, Daddy, what's wrong? I'm laughing, choking on this. And I swear to God, I'm like, it took me about 10 minutes to just get my bearings. And I'm like, look, look, look. And my wife's like, really? Really? A fucking card. It's just like, that's pathetic. I'm like, no, no, it's freaking hilarious. Trust me. But I have to give it to you. Best reaction so far of any card. I haven't snorted anything out my nose in 20 years, so kudos. Kudos to whoever made that, because...
That was fucking great.
Yeah,
now, this is going to be the fun part, too. Now when we find a winner, too, we're going to have to go back through and figure out who made these cards, who tweeted them to us.
We're going to leave it up to you guys, to be honest. So we'll put them up. You guys vote on the name of the card. The card that we think wins, we're going to say, who the fuck made this card?
Yeah, who the fuck was this?
Don't lie, you bastards. Tell you did it. But that's the Booze Cube submission so far. I'll put them all up in the... on the show notes, so you guys can take a look at it. Kyle.
Now, real quick, before we get off, I gotta give a fucking honorable mention to Daniel, because I couldn't pick his fucking card because he's like my brother-in-law and he knows me way too well. But I think that the listeners need to hear this one. Even though it's not in the running to win, because one, the card is just completely unfair. But this is what I was telling you about earlier, the straight heavy metal one is fucking hybrid, red, black, one mana. For a 2/1 legendary creature, human asshole. Haste and indestructible. Heavy metal attacks each turn if able and is intoxicated. Whenever a player casts a blue spell, heavy metal deals 3 damage to that player and fights a random creature they control. And at the beginning of your end step, if you have not drank this turn, heavy metal deals 3 damage to you. That is me in a nutshell. And I feel like it needed to at least be brought up.
Well, if you're gonna do any card that needs to be brought up, there's 2 cards. It's the KYT Silent Observer, which I don't know. It probably does beat the shopping cart for flavor because he's always watching. You never know. And it's just
lawyer.
It's the Well, like there's so many. Like the one though, I have to get because KYT's trolling the shit out of me with this, and so is Brian Ruckus. But the motherfucker made a curse, man, religiously followed. And a champ player, whenever an opponent drinks, curse player must drink. So, I mean, that's a really flavorful card. Good job there.
Yes, it is. That is good.
And the flavor text. I have to rewind and listen to it again over and over. KYT. So
can I honorably mention Jay Boosh, King of the North?
Yes. Oh, please do.
Yes.
So red-green 3, 2/2, legendary creature, Canadian human. Trample, booze touch. Other Canadians gain trample.
Awesome.
Red, green, drink X, tap. That's insane. Red, green, drink X, tap. Place X 1/1 counters on Jay Boosh. Jay Boosh fights target creature.
So that's badass.
I think it's pretty good.
So great.
Yeah.
So, Scotty, you gotta go back and edit my card. I need to be a human Canadian paladin. I combo with Borsch.
Yeah, and truthfully, I think that there actually should be a Canadian subtype if we do a major expansion. Especially if it's based on podcasts. Like, yeah.
Oh yeah, you've gotta have a fucking Canadian subtype.
And then the Kevin Metal, all the USA players like, fuck it, we do what we want.
Yeah, whatever.
And you know what? If we put like, So if we put like all of the if you supplement the cube with actual cards and you put in like all of the Alara lands and you put in like shock lands and shit like into the cube just to kind of like flesh out the mana fixing,
right?
Like that could be a thing. Like you could play a Canadian deck.
Hey, so Scotty, how awesome is it? The Boros lands are Canadian lands because they're red and white. Yeah,
that's hot, actually.
You know, like you can put the Canadian flag on the Boros land. That'd be awesome.
No,
even,
the best part about all of this is you got like, you know, Canadians are gonna be a fucking strong subtype, and I'm sure Americans at some point, if that happens, are gonna have to be some sort of strong subtype. And then you've got the one card. Remember, Scotty, way back when I fucking sent you guys the fucking booze cube fucking cards of your cast?
Then
all you're gonna have is like the Mexicans have one. You have he's like a fucking Feldegrip fucking subtitle.
He's like the hippo. Oh my god, that's awesome.
The bike basher, sorta.
Oh, that's good.
So by the way, the Jews are hilarious.
The Jews?
Like, and in context of the booze cube, like, I don't know if you guys, like, listened to the show. Like, I got so much shit for our last episode when I was talking about the booze cube episode where I had I had guys over and they're just like, we don't want to hear about the booze cube. And I'm like, fuck you! Anyway. My brother drafted the Jewish American fraternity.
Oh, Jesus.
So he had both Jesus and Walter.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious.
And, like, for those of you that haven't played the Booze Cube, and are actually still here and haven't stopped listening yet because you're tired of it, like, Jesus Christ is a creature-type carpenter Jew.
These are our listeners, Scotty. They're not going to get tired of hearing about the Booze Cube. Like, the A-team listeners.
And then Walter is, like, Jew soldier or something. Like, anyways. But it's just funny. So he intentionally drafted those and then all of the fraternity stuff. But it was just really funny because he had Jesus Christ on the table for so long. And we just like at some point in time, I looked over at his board and I looked at him and I looked at the table and I went, fuck Jesus. This Oh, man.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Anyway. So
All you really needed was Borat because he's got protection from Jew.
I know, and I didn't. It was terrible.
Oh man, so that's our booze cube maze winner, guys. We'll keep you up to date. So what we want you to do, take a look at our finalists, our 10 finalists, and then what we want you to do is tweet or what we'd prefer.
No, not SK. Tweet. They have
no,
to
no,
tweet
hold
in the
on.
Comments.
Exactly.
In the comments.
Yeah. So as the master and our boss, KYT, said, your comments are pathetic for your show. So guys, we need you to put the name. Yeah, we need the name of your card. That you're choosing. We're only allowing one, so please don't comment with 20 names. Pick one. And we will count those up and then we'll probably ignore it all and choose what we want.
Yeah, ignore it all and pick one for ourselves.
Maddie, in fairness, we'll have them choose two because it is the top three that win.
All right, fair enough. So you can pick two. So I'll have notes in there. Read them for fuck's sakes, people. So anyway, so that's that. So some other news that has happened in Magic this week, which completely caught me by surprise. I thought I was being fucking trolled there by Jordy Tate or something, but apparently slivers are back and for real? Like,
Maddie, yeah. I only have one thing to say about that.
Oh, no, yes. I'm religiously following.
No.
Okay.
No. It's a small announcement.
All right, announce.
My end of the show is graciously brought to you by none other than Innocent Gun.
Nice.
Attaboy.
Nice.
Corporate plug.
Well, I got to say, I've tried Innocent Gun before, and it's a very good beer. So, yeah, I'm surprised you didn't bring any for the rest of us, you fucking selfish bastard. But
he's like the singer for my band. Like, we buy booze all the time for practice, and when fucking when Jason shows up and he brings booze, it's in his backpack. we'll see him over in the corner, and we're like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I just, I had this, I brought it from the house and I don't
from myself.
So like, whatever, dick, dude, we've got a huge jug of vodka in the fucking freezer.
Innocent Gun is bringing us the current topic portion of our show tonight.
Nice.
Apparently slivers are back. So if you don't know what slivers are, people, they're basically this fucking weird ass creature that
wood little chips that get stuck in
yeah.
your
head. Yes. So basically, every other sliver gives every other sliver its ability. I don't know. Do the new ones have that, or is it just your slivers? Right. I believe
it's
that's
just your slivers. Yeah.
Right.
So the new ones are just change in templating.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I'm not sure. In all honesty, my first reaction was, "This is bullshit. It's a troll." Because why would you bring? It's a 20th anniversary. Really? Slivers? 20 fucking years of Magic and slivers? I think that's a fucking bad call.
Is this what you're bringing to the table? You
yeah.
fucking assholes.
But apparently it's real. I hope to God that there's something else in 2.14, because as you've heard in the show, like, the 20th anniversary, we've all really were hoping for something a lot better than fucking slivers. And if that's what it is, then all I gotta say is from the vault 20 better have Jason Mind Sculptor, Power 9, fucking 22. Well, I don't know what it's gonna have in there, but you gotta make up for it, Mark.
Could they do from the vault's planeswalkers? Are there enough of them?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
There's enough to do 20 now, yeah. But I don't, I mean, that would be kind of cool.
Uh-huh. And they're all in the, like, pimped out, you know,
yeah,
from
the
vault.
Yeah, but then
you
have to fucking print Nithil.
Yes.
You'd have to print what?
But you'd have to print fucking, Nissa.
Poor Nissa.
No,
don't
she,
hate on Nissa.
No, fuck her, man. She
yeah.
No, she's a worst.
No, but see, like, this is reality. This is what's gonna happen. We're gonna get, like, fucking from the vault.
Alright, hold on. Okay, hold on. Impromptu poll. Worst planeswalker. Go.
Tybalt.
Ha!
No way. What? Okay, two for Tybalt. Scott?
Tybalt. I said Tybalt. I'm the second.
Other Scott.
I'm gonna go with Nissa.
Okay, good. So there's someone who's got his head in his shoulders, Kevy.
This one's hard for me because fucking, I want to say Tybalt because he's fucking terrible. But I'm a red mage, and so that it prevents me from saying that. I'm gonna go with Nicol Bolas because fuck that guy.
No, Nicol Bolas is fucking awesome. Okay, well I guess I gotta go with Nissa because I mean it's. Although Tybalt is very close second.
Tybalt is so bad, dude. I'm red through and through, but god damn it, that guy is fucking terrible. I have tried everything I can to make that guy work. I got this like fucking Jund dredge deck that I'm trying to build, and I'm trying to stuff Tybalt into it to try to make it work, and it's not working.
Okay, here's the question. Wait, okay. Hit me.
Let me put it to you this way.
Hit me.
Tybalt is 2 fucking mana and still completely utterly unplayable.
No, that's not a judgment.
Mana, she would be utterly broken.
That's not a judgment. Okay, here's the thing. Here's the definition of a bad planeswalker. If it comes to the table and your opponent says, "Oh, you just wasted your turn. I guess I time walked you." Like that's the definition. So Tybalt does qualify for that.
No, here's the definition of a bad planeswalker. They should have called it Sorin versus Hellrider. It just left him off the button. It just left him out of it completely. Like when it's that bad.
Oh, that's awesome. You know what? He should come in with his own Oblivion Ring. He Oblivion Rings himself out of the game.
No shit.
So anyways, well, that's our impromptu poll. But what does everyone think honestly about slivers? Like, is this a good move, a bad move? Do you care?
What does everyone think honestly about Tybalt?
Yeah, he sucks balls, man. You know what, though? I'll tell you right now, Tybalt would have been an amazing planeswalker if they just changed one thing on him, that first ability. If it wasn't random, I would play him.
Yeah, of course. But if it wasn't random, then fucking he would be good and, you know, we'd be in a whole different world. Like, I'd be good at Magic, fucking, you know. Yeah, you guys would all be fucked, like.
Well, maybe that's true. I don't know. Someone who dev'd that thing had to have noticed that they probably had him at one thing, and it was the last minute, hey, man, take him down a notch, and it was the wrong call. So
I told you about this a few episodes back.
They're, like, adding the extra ability to
the
Jace.
Bar in the fucking room.
Oh, like, he's not that good. Let's add an unsummon.
Yeah. just have him drop it. No, but anyways, back to slivers. So, like, is anyone even give a shit? Because we can't even get on the topic, so I assume no one cares.
Here's my take on the slivers.
Oh, sorry, go ahead, Ferret.
Okay, sorry. I was going to say, slivers are great in the simple fact that your casual crowd absolutely loves them.
Bullshit. I would argue 1,000% against that the casual crowd doesn't give a shit about slivers.
Come on. You won original O? Sliver? Yes, she did a squeal of glee when she seen slivers.
Sliver Queen is cool, but all the other slivers
We're not getting a reprint of Sliver Queen. So, that's been confirmed.
I know, and is that not retarded?
Maddie, did you play during Slivers when they were first out?
No, I did not play during
Slivers. Did you play with Slivers during the Time Spiral block?
No. Okay. I did, however, I will admit though, that I did build a Sliver deck when I was first starting. Yes, okay. I did. Because it was cheap, and it was kind of cool, and it sounded like, you know what I could do? On turn 10, I could have like, this insane control board state where all my creatures have like Death Touch and Trample and are 18-18, yeah. But the truth is, then you learn to play Magic, and I guess maybe that's the whole point, right? They're not targeting us anymore, they're targeting the new people, so.
So the thing is with Slivers, right? Like
Slivers, though, are going to be pretty nasty with Cavern of Souls.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Tavern's well, rotating out, then.
No. No, it isn't. Ferret,
We got 3 months with the two in the same. I'm sorry.
The problem is that they have to actually print Slivers that don't suck balls in order for them to actually be a deck. Like, we saw Allies, right? Like, Allies was decent, but only late in the cycle, and they were only good as an aggressive deck with Bloodbraid Elf, right? Like when that came out, it was fine. It was a tier 2 deck, but it was like a solid tier 2 deck.
Yeah, right? Which was because they never printed the aggressive Allies that, you know, there was the one that made all your mana, which was cool.
Yeah.
But they needed one or two more.
Okay.
He was like, cool too. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, it wasn't until, and it was weird, cause like, you had the ally mill deck, anyways, I'm digressing. My point is that allies were a thing. But like, Slivers were also a deck. I mean, just ask Jacob Van Loonen. I mean, he's called a Sliver kid, you know, he and someone else, I can't remember, but whatever. Like, they won PTQs with Sliver decks like crazy, because when they first came out, they were insane. And with Cavern of Souls, they could be retarded, but Slivers were generally under-costed and overpowered because as soon as you put them all together, like they all stack on one another very quickly. And of course, the fact that their abilities were symmetrical led them to be able to be under-costed, right? The problem is that now that the Slivers are not symmetrical, they have to be, right?
Exactly. They're very expensive.
So yeah. I imagine it'll be fine. Like if you can end up drafting a Sliver deck, like in M14 limited, like I'm sure it'll be okay. But
it's
constructed viable.
Yeah, but who plays Corset Limited? Like that's just silly.
Well, no, Corset Limited. No, the last two Corsets.
Never had fun.
210 was awesome.
Not that I've done a shit ton of it or anything, but like Corset Limited always sucked to me. Maybe it's because I'm a fucking newbie kid and fucking like I like the flavor of the set and shit like that. But I don't know. I just was never like
M13 Limited was supposed to be really really good.
I like 210 was good. 211 was okay, but I don't know. I mean, Zendikar was awesome. Yeah. What got me back. But I mean, like, if I'm looking at Slivers right now, 7 fucking mana for a 5/5 trampler? Like, I don't know. Like, though, it seems to me, like you said, Scotty, they've flipped the pendulum to the other side.
Probably be awesome.
Yeah.
You control
okay, hold on. No, all you need is. No,
where is Sliver?
You need one Sliver. One Sliver that grants boost touch. Oh my god, that's.
I had a whole cycle. I had a whole cycle that I just created a long time ago of Slivers. The problem is making it a supported tribe requires so many cards.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Don't do it. I don't want to play.
However,
you're rocking like one card per.
However, with Elder Dragon Hangover, that might actually work.
Yep.
If you actually build a Sliver deck you have normal Slivers plus the Sliver that gives that makes all Slivers intoxicated or
you always have like weird
all Slivers gain tap target player drinks.
Oh, that's just death on board there. Just go, yeah. Buddy. Keep drinking.
Oh, mirror. Oh. Nice spirit. Mirror entity.
Awesome.
You don't even need mirror entity. You need fucking
footsteps.
Pipestone.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah. There you go.
Nice.
That's disgusting. So what is? I mean, here's the thing. Obviously, 214 is looking like meh. It's gonna kind of suck. And I was looking on the the Magic app there, the 214 app, and they were kind of hinting at. It looks like we're getting Chandra, Garrick, and Jace again for the Planeswalkers. So that's kind of boring, which really sucks ass. And we'll probably get
a new Chandra.
Yeah, it's going to be a new Chandra because she's the feature character, but I mean, maybe we'll get a new Garruk again. I personally thought that they would dump the Planeswalkers and go with a whole new set of five because I'm getting bored. I'm like, I'll be honest. Well, I'm just...
Maddie, we knew that Chandra was the focus of M14, so...
All right, keep Chandra, but give me four other ones. Like, come on, man. Like, I know.
I think that they really need to do something.
I'd like a green Planeswalker who isn't Garruk and not Nissa.
Yes, exactly. Give me a freaking tree folk Planeswalker. I don't care.
Well, I think Kiora, what the hell is her name? Anyways, in Duels.
Kiora, yeah.
Yeah, Kiora was like a green blue, Planeswalker that was sort of like a merfolk. So, I mean, like, we might see her on Theros at some point.
Yeah, totally gonna see her on Theros. 100% agree with that.
I was really surprised she wasn't in Simic in
Ditto.
Yeah, that's what I thought. She'd be the big lord in the third set. You know, her and Raoul. But I guess they don't want to give us too many Planeswalkers. They're being cautious.
Well, yeah, because they're going to fucking do From the Vault Planeswalkers, right?
Yeah, I don't think anybody actually expected Domrirod. No. And I think that, like, that could very well have been the place to put in Kiora. But, I mean, whatever. Who are we to say anything, right?
I really thought Domrirod was a fan.
We're the drunk assholes that think we can run wizards better than they can.
Yeah. Sorry, what was that, Scott? You really thought Domri was what?
No, I really thought Domri was a fake.
Yeah.
For the longest time until he actually was spoiled. Or the other ones that were spoiled with him were spoiled.
Right.
Yeah, his emblem seemed just like
that emblem is just retarded.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've played.
It seemed like Timmy has an orgasm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find it unfortunate, though, that, you know, the pros actually proved me right and that he is broken and insane, and so now he's not cheap.
Is he?
Yes,
I don't know, man.
In my corner.
Okay, Ferret, I find it actually offensive that you use the word insane to describe Domrirod.
Yeah, he's all right, but he's a fifth, man.
You've offended Scott. Optimistically okay.
He's terrible.
But like,
okay.
Insane is terrible. What's wrong with you?
Well, he's still more than I want to pay for him right now.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, Christ, he's not insane as a card.
I love the Ajani that came out.
Yeah.
Because that whole double strike and flying is just fucking awesome. And he's $4 or $5 online, you know? Sure. So I'm a happy little camper with that. And then we got Domri, who's at like, what, 15, I think, right now?
Yep.
Yeah.
Really?
Now you see what I'm saying. I'm just like, what? No, I don't want to
pay. Online prices are different, though. Like Moto online.
Yeah. He is $14.27, just so you know.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, it's gross.
So here's a question. So out of course, like, Scott, did you play, obviously you did for your birthday, Dragon Maze pre-release? And I heard it was fucking awesome.
Oh, remind me later, by the way. I have a fucking all sorts of fucking birthday story for you guys, too. But later in the cast, after we've gotten through all the shit that we need to talk about.
Well, hold on. Just as a teaser so you listen on, apparently there was some kind of, like, fucking in parking lots or something. So you're gonna want to listen to that.
Okay, I wrote down birthday story in my show notes here on my pen and paper beside us. So
So, Scotty, tell us about this this awesome birthday dragon pre-release, and what do you think? Like, are you liking this set?
I actually didn't mind the Dragon's Maze Sealed. Like, I actually played another one. You guys are getting, like, the preemptive report on this one, but Friday I went out and played another release event. Mm-hmm. And
I remember you talking about that.
Yeah, like I said, I was going to, but now you guys get to hear about it. So sick!
Hell yeah. This is a heavy meta exclusive brought to you by Scott. What is it?
Innocent Guns.
So I ended up going out and I played a release event, which is basically just a pre-release event. Like, we used the pre-release decks and we just decided, fuck it, it's release night, let's go. So I ended up going – I was trolling around for advice like crazy, and Cap and Top Deck on Twitter – shout out to that guy. He just put out a new show that's actually decent. So Glory Seekers, I think, on MTG Cast.
Oh, yeah, I heard.
It's actually good. Like, I don't listen to too many new shows, but that one was decent. I enjoyed it. So you guys should check that out. Free plug. You guys can pay me later. Anyways, so on the advice of Captain Topic, who wrote a fantastic article on the subject, and shout out to Real Evil Genius for tagging me to it, I ended up picking Azorius. And opting to go Boros as my second guild. So I got to choose both for this event. Because there were only 8 of us. And they're just like, yeah, we got tons of decks left. Fucking pick whatever you want. We're like, sick! So ended up going Azorius Boros. Azorius pack was kind of shitty. I got a ton of removal, like Arrest and Azorius Charm and all that sort of stuff. So that was, and I guess the Dramatic Rescue? Yeah, that was the other one. So that was okay. But the Boros pack yielded... Oh, sorry, the rare in the Azorius pack was Sphinx of the Chimes. Mm. And, like, that card's terrible. Except for the fact that it's a Maha.
Yep.
Win. Like, a 5-6 flyer is okay if you're basically running the flyer deck. But otherwise, it was kind of shitty.
Agree on that.
Yeah, in my Boros pack, I opened basically no removal, which is really obnoxious. And the only real playable Boros card that I got out of it was, thankfully, Aurelia. So, yeah. So I got, I think, a Griffin or a couple Assault Griffins throughout the packs and a Windrake throughout the Dragon's Maze packs and Beck and Call I got as well. So I had basically the Skies deck and X4 Ground Pounders and then right. Bombs. So, like, the idea was, you know, put out some flyers, get in for a couple, you know, stabilize the ground on X4s and then just, like, drop my bombs and kill you in the air. So I actually went, like, I went X1. The one loss went to 3. I had lethal on board to, like, untap play Aurelia and kill him for lethal from 18.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, I cast a Sphinx as a blocker. I had a couple Sky guys. Like, I think I had an Assault Griffin and a Windrake and like, a Ground Pounder or whatever. And I was about to get there, and then he goes, okay. And he had, like, fucking bomb pool, this guy. Like, 2 Blood Barons and, like...
Whoa!
It was, like, 5 color bombs, but, like, everything was insane. He had 2 Blood Barons, 1 foil, 1 not. Like, guy was just, like, the most tricked-out pool I've ever seen. So he brings in sideboard cards. Like, game 1, I kill him. I thought I was dead. Almost scooped. Decided in the long run, just, like, I'll get there. Beck and Call did a lot of work, like, just for the 4 flyers. Ended up winning. Game 2, I just get smoked. Completely run over, like... Turn 4, I'm fucked. Like, it was it. And then, like, game 3 was going pretty good. I was about to swing for lethal. I had Aurelia in my hand. I played the 5-6 blocker. And then I was just going to drop Aurelia and kill him. And, of course, then he goes, Gruul Charm? 3 damage to all your guys? Kill you?
Oh, Gruul Charm. So I was like,
sweet sideboard card, bro. You got me.
Nice.
You know, so I'm like, how can you? Like, oh, it was close. And then just, like, the rest of them, I just XO'd from there. And it was decent. Like, the deck was fine. But, like, the format itself, I actually like. Like, I imagine that if I were looking at the format from, like, a draft perspective, we really, really good.
Really? It seems like just giant bombs.
It's, you know, when
it
you
feels look, like everything is just bombs, like huge bombs. Out of
a draft perspective, it's not actually quite so much. Like, the sealed format was very, very much like that.
Yeah.
The bombs were very important in the sealed format. Because Dragon's Maze is good, but, like, you can get some absurd bombs in Dragon's Maze. Like, Dragon's Maze is basically the bomb set. Like, it's small, right? But even the commons are stupid. Like, Nivik Cyclops is, like, our spoiler card. It was so good! And, like, Turn and Burn, Far Away, like, Bueller? Really?
Bueller.
The Maze Runner, with 4 Dragon's Maze packs, the mana fixing was basically perfect, right? Like, between your 2 guild packs and the Dragon's Maze packs, you were able to get anything you wanted for colors. You could play 5 color without blinking.
Oh, hey, fucking, real quick fucking tip. Like, really, when you're playing an aggro deck with nothing above 3, by the way, for my pre-release, don't fucking jam your deck full of clue stones. because I don't know how many times I sat there going, well, I've got four clue stones in hand, and I've got 2 mana on the board. And I can't really do shit at this point. Sorry. Anyway, go ahead.
That's awesome.
I actually found myself in a bunch of my decks not actually running clue stones. Like, it was only to accommodate splashes and in my 5 color deck over the course of the entire, like, pre-release release times that I actually ran a high volume of clue stones. Most of the time I was able to get away with the splash off the guild gates.
Hmm.
And, like, most of the decks that I was playing a minimum of 4 guild gates per deck. There was one deck in particular that I ran, like, 6. But, like, minimum 4 gates. Because, like, a lot of the – in Dragon's Maze, the 2/4s for 4 or, like, the X/4s for 4 that come in – the gatekeepers, I guess, is the cycle. And they all, like, do something different. Those are all very, very good.
Yep.
in that sealed format especially. Like, they were very, very, very good. So, anyways. Yeah, I had a blast. It was awesome. I had a good time. I won some packs. And I ended up playing against my brother in the last round and, like, smoked him three games to nothing. Poor guy.
Yes. Yes.
Sarkonky. But it was really good. I had a good time. It was a good weekend.
Nice. And,
right on.
Extra bonus.
Yes.
I was able to.
So I got a question. Yep. Scotty. So your birthday weekend. So if you were playing with Jello Shots.
Yeah.
Fleet, did anybody draft Necropotent?
Yeah. I didn't get it. Because like it's so in all. Okay. So I'll get to that. This is, yeah. So this was my first time playing Boozgoo. Okay. Like I'd never actually played it before. And right. I'm an old man. I don't drink heavily. Okay.
Fire!
I don't drink heavily. So that being said, I was a little bit apprehensive about the concept of shots and so on and so forth, and my wife didn't want me to die of alcohol poisoning on my birthday. So what we ended up doing was she made a bunch of these Jello shots, and they were about like 30% booze, so that was fine. They tasted good. They were awesome. Like, they still got us fucked up. It was great. But like, it's way easier than just taking a shot of vodka, for example. Mm-hmm. Or Kraken, for that matter.
Oh, quick interruption. I have, you know, I myself am getting a bit older, and although I'm a raging alcoholic, I've started to learn too that when you're playing Booze Cube, like, if you want to have any fun doing it, it's probably a good idea to either get, you know, like some sort of fruity vodka or some Fireball or, you know, Jello shots is a great fucking idea. You know, something like that for your shots liquor rather than just straight up whiskey or Kraken or fucking – because the first couple times I played Booze Cube, I'm like, oh, right on. Let's do this. And fuck it. Oh, my God. It's like yeah, all of a sudden it's just like, holy shit, I don't even know what's going on anymore. You're in the kitchen fucking throwing up. Like, I had a buddy of mine throwing up in my sink. Fucking, like, yeah, and we're what the fuck is going on? Like, and we're like in fucking the first game, especially if you're playing like what we'll end up doing a lot of times is like, because we're rocking like four people playing, we're not, you know, don't have enough to do like a draft pod and fucking play one-on-one games, we'll end up just being like, fuck it, we'll draft the Booze Cube and we'll fucking play a multiplayer game. That's a terrible idea because, as you know, multiplayer games go on forever. And so, you know, here it is, we're in like the second game and everybody's hammered and can't see their own hands and thrown up in the sink. Yeah. So you should probably, you know, if you're going to pick some shooting liquor for your Booze Cube night, pick like fruity vodka or fucking
do yourself a favor.
Yeah, just cut that shit with something, cause
the last thing I want is you people to finally like take our advice and be like, you know what, I'm gonna fucking check out this Booze Cube thing. Spend all the fucking time in printer ink fucking printing this shit out and sleeving it up, playing it once and be like, never again.
So, okay.
So anyway, back to your story.
So Necropotent was drafted, like, so when it came around to me, I was trying to be in, like, a blue-green archetype at that point, because, like, I was trying to actually be the ramp deck. Like, I was trying to draft all the Sol Ring lands on Jay's advice, and I was trying to draft, was it Unsightly Growth or something? And I started
fucking love that card.
I know. And I started to draft all of like those sweet non-basic lands, like what is it? It's Fifth Street or something like that. What is it? The one where you can like tutor up lands at will. So like I was drafting all of those Fifth cards, to try to get there. And like Necropotent passed me, and then it didn't come back. But like the card that saw the most abuse with the shots was Ad Nausea. And, like, I had a guy that was in...
What does that one do? I forget what that does.
So I'll read it to you. But, like, I had a guy that was solidly in junk. And he was on, like... He had, like, Eat the Worm. And he had... he was playing basically, like, a junk control deck. So he had Eat the Worm. He had the Jagger Bomb and, like, all that sort of stuff. And he was just, like, hiding behind a bunch of shit. Landed Belushi, Smasher of Cans or whatever. Anyway, so the card that he hit behind basically all game was Ad Nausea, which is black 3 for an enchantment, and it's take a shot, target opponent sacrifices a creature. So like So he ended up drinking. He ended up having
Jello
like
shots.
Close to like 26 Jello shots over the course of the night. and he still couldn't win the game. Like, it was just really bad. The one that actually like totally fucked up everybody was the green 2 creature that comes into play and you finish target player finishes their game beverage.
Ooh, what's that one?
Parched Bay Loth, I think.
Yeah, something like that. So it's anyways, that card's absolutely retarded. By the way, I'm just saying.
just so you know.
So what was happening was, is he combined that with there's, oh god, I'm like going through the cards right now to try to make sure that I find it. And it's this enchantment where it says like during the beginning of your upkeep, mill one, and then you pick a card from your graveyard or whatever and put it in your hand.
Oh, right. What did I do last night or something?
That's
like that.
That's it. Yeah.
Right. With Stewie. Yeah.
So he was using that in conjunction with this green card. And so he was just like making everybody finish their beverages and he was just cycling this card. Parched Baleth is green 2, 4/4 beast. When it enters the battlefield, target player finishes the contents of his or her game beverage. When it dies, finish the contents of your game beverage. Combine that with what did I do last night, which is green 2 enchantment. Beginning of your upkeep, put the top card of your library into your graveyard. Then put a card in your graveyard on top of your library. So you basically get card of your off your library or out of your graveyard. Yeah, that was completely unfair because it was like, yep. Here you go. Finish your game deck. You're like, yep. And then the guy with the junk deck would be like, yep, okay, here, sacrifice a guy. He'd be like, oh, I'll just sacrifice this guy. And then the guy
that's where you need go fuck yourself, San Diego, to shut yes. that fucking combo up.
Yes.
The guy who just finished his
that
game
would be beverage. A definite combo.
The worst part is the guy who was just made to finish his game beverage by the guy who cast the Baleth, right? Mm-hmm. Then at that point in time, after the Baleth got sacrificed, he'd be like, yep, just draw this Baleth, put this back on the field, guy who just filled up your shit, drink it all down again. Like, it was and it's just
so brutal. That's the thing about this Booze Cube fucking game is like, I don't think people really understand, like, what's there and, like, how much, like.
It's so well built.
Yeah, exactly. How well built it is and how like the way your brain thinks when you're playing Magic, it's like you take that and you apply that to this, but it's like a whole new fucking set of rules and shit gets crazy and you have to remember that while you're hammered. Like, it's fucking amazing. And there are very few people that are really going to respect it out there, but if anybody is going to, it's probably our listeners.
So I'm running it back on Victoria Day weekend, which is 2 weeks from now.
Ooh.
Yeah. So Matt, if you're available Saturday on 2/4 weekend, you should.
Oh man, that
stay the night,
dude. That is sick.
Honestly,
I'm gonna
you right now. You need to come to my house and play Booze Cube with me.
That sounds so badass. Oh fuck, I gotta check with the.
Talk to the wife. Talk to the family. But you have to do it for the cast, Matt.
Heavy.
Oh, I would. Yes.
I have confirmed that Nina will be in attendance.
Oh, how can I not go to this? Fuck.
Hey, I might get a passport.
2 weeks, bro. Do it.
Oh, my God. That sounds insane.
I don't know. Can you get a passport and clear shit with Canadian Customs in 2 weeks?
I don't think so, but look,
I told you, you get as close to Buffalo as you can, you put on some rollerblades, you put on a hockey helmet, you skate across the border. Where are you going? Going to Toronto, eh?
Yeah, I'm going to Toronto, eh?
Yeah. Scott, if you have any other cards between now and then that you want to ship me, we will 100% beta those shits for you. 100%.
Yeah.
110%.
I have probably gotten like 20, 30 cards since what I shipped you.
Then
not all of those have artwork, but
that's okay.
They can all be a blank black fucking artwork.
Yeah, I know what, and you know what else would be awesome? I'm editing some of these submissions you have to take as well.
Yeah, you have to put at least one of each of us.
I'm putting some of them in. I'm just gonna ship them to you. And if you could like toss them into the print file for me, That'd be awesome. Because, like, I'm terrible at figuring out how to do this formatting from a graphic perspective. But you and I are going to talk after this. This is going to happen.
Hell yeah.
All right, yeah, so it's actually pretty easy.
Nice. Well, maybe you educate me and I can – you teach me how to fish and I'll handle it. But we'll figure it out.
Speaking of interactions from the Booze Cube, like one little part of that, the only thing that I remember specifically from
best quote right there for the game.
Well, I seriously, like, you know, I had fucking – it's my birthday weekend, so I knew I couldn't get in trouble for anything. And so even before – like my birthday was Saturday, but like Friday night I was just all, babe, you're going to work. Is it cool if I fucking get drunk and play Booze Cube? Not that I had to ask because, I mean, it was my birthday weekend. I'm allowed to get away with whatever the fuck I want to. So I, you know, we played fucking Booze Cube fucking Friday night and we hit up the guys and like the other two guys had shit going on. So it was just me and Daniel. And we're like, I was all, dude, I got the fucking, I've already got the shit printing. Like it's going right now. Like, show up. We got some cutting to do and some sleeving to do. So we did it up. We got fucking hammer drunk. I don't remember, like, I'm pretty sure I didn't win because I never do. And so I'm pretty solid sure I didn't win, but I do know that I actually won some games. And I do remember fucking us hammer drunk fucking tweeting at the Booze Cube trying to figure some shit out real quick because fucking Hodor.
Oh, was that?
Oh God, that card's amazing.
Yeah. So fucking Daniel's pissed because Hodor, let me read it for you, is a fucking white and 4. Hodor, creature, human, vigilance, 6/8. When Hodor enters the battlefield or attacks, you may return a permanent with converted mana cost 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. When you say a word other than Hodor, sacrifice Hodor. Now,
wait. Does it actually say that on there?
Yeah,
oh my god.
It's a Sun Titan, but you have to say Hodor all the time.
So wait. Okay, go on. This is awesome.
Do this. Like I spent a good half hour, 45 minutes, which was payback because I've cast Captain Morgan and got his emblem off many times on Daniel, and Daniel's pissed because he's like wanting to say some shit, but he's just all
Hodor.
This be a bunch of bullshit. But so then I get some payback and all, but all I can do, like, I'm just all Hodor, and I'm pointing at shit in my Hodor across the fucking board. But so I cast this thing and Daniel's got like no way to get rid of it. So we went through this whole fucking ordeal and he's telling me this whole time from across, he's all, honestly, like, I think this is kind of bullshit. Like, it should say legendary creature. Cause I mean, it's a named creature and they're all like a named creature is a legendary creature because he's got Horde of 80s cartoons, which can copy a creature. So he's trying to legendary rule it, but it doesn't have legendary on the fucking text. And as he's getting pissed about this little fucking combo that I'm running, he's just like, well, I think that fuck about, and I'm just all Hodor. Tweeting the Booze Cube, like, this is the only way I can communicate, is like, I can say what I've got to say about it through Twitter to the Booze Cube, because he's just all, well, because seriously, this is, I'm just all Hodor, because I've also played fucking Sense of Entitlement, which is fucking white. X. Each player drinks X. You gain life equal to the total number of drinks consumed. Draw a card. And so I keep I keep attacking with Hodor and saying Hodor and pointing in my graveyard and pulling Sense of Entitlement back out, retapping 8, 9, 10 mana and casting it again and making us all drink again. And I draw a card.
I don't think that works though.
Like shrug.
Entitlement's not a permanent.
Oh shit! He's gotta be even more mad now.
You just cheated the whole. Oh no!
The whole time, I'm just Hodor.
Hodor.
And he he's getting so pissed. He's like, this has got to stop. Like, I've got no way to get rid of this thing, and you keep fucking me over. Oh, man, reading cards is fucking tech.
Reading is tech, yeah. That's awesome. My God. By the way, I caught somebody playing Lancey Enhanced.
Really? Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you people don't even know about this whole new set of cards that are coming. You people that do know about the Booze Cube, you have no idea what's coming at you.
You have no idea.
So I ended up losing the Booze Cube because – sorry, go ahead. Go ahead, Scott.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, please, I insist.
No, I was going to say, I've got like 150 cards coming this summer.
Nice!
Fuck yes!
Yeah. I have Hookah Demon, apparently. It is here. It does have Shroud. It did not get drafted. Just so you know. I do have it.
Especially with fucking Jello Shot.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
I really like some of the flavor. Like
just full shots of vodka.
Yeah. Molesto the Clown just makes me laugh.
That one is awesome.
Yeah, it just makes me chuckle.
Oh, good stuff.
Yeah. Two girls enter the battlefield with one cup counter on it. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
The best card has got to be Awesome Sauce. I don't know how you don't love that card to death.
Yeah. Oh, speaking awesome of sauce. Maddie, I need you to fucking ship me that artwork back.
Yes.
With the Booze Cube Champion graphic, or you know.
Oh, yeah. I'll do it.
Because that's what, like, that's the card artwork that I decided on for the Booze Cube Champion playmat for Vegas. So that, like, our little Booze Cube fucking tournament that we have in the Vegas house, we're all going to sign that playmat and send it home with whoever wins. So
that's actually awesome.
it's fucking Reagan riding a velociraptor with a fucking machine gun and a rocket launcher. And then it'll just say Booze Cube Champion across it, and we're all going to sign it and send it home with the fucking winner. I needed to have Maddie fucking, because he is our fucking guru with this shit. He needs to put Booze Cube Champio across it and send it back to me so I can order this playmat.
Done. So tell us about this this parking lot adventure before we go this evening. Because we've built it up now. We must know.
Yeah. Well, it's just like my whole fucking birthday in general. Like I told you guys, you know, I did the whole fucking, like, it was my birthday on Saturday. We did Friday night. I was like, I, you know, it's my birthday. I can get away with whatever the fuck I want to. So,
by the way, I wish I had that clause in my marriage. I don't get that one.
He's not
married yet.
Oh yeah. That's right.
But it is a double-edged sword. Yeah, her birthday's cost me so much fucking money. It's ridiculous. Her birthday's the week after Valentine's Day. I tried combining them. That doesn't work. Like, that's not allowed. So, like, literally, it's like my fucking wallet takes a fucking ass pounding in February. So, anyway, like, yeah, I do tend to get away with the whole, like, oh, it's your birthday, you know, weekend, you do whatever, you know, do your thing. So I told her, I was like, hey, I'm going to fucking Booze Cube it up tonight. And I did. Like, we got fucking hammered drunk, like, retarded drunk. And she, you know, cool as shit, came home when she was done with work. She's like, hey, sweetie, all right, I'm going to bed. And went to bed. And then we continued to get fucking hammered, retarded drunk. And then after I got woke back up at some point in the living room, I went to bed. And then, I woke up the next morning. It was, like, fucking 11:30, fucking noon. I haven't slept in like that in years. And so I get, you know, all right, cool. Like, I know we have plans today and tonight for my birthday, but I got to fucking sleep in all morning. Awesome. And then, so we've got, some friends of ours, like her plan, you know, she's like, well, hey, you know, like, we're going to go see Iron Man in 3D. We'll do that thing. You know, show starts at like 9-ish. And, but there's also like a guy in our motorcycle club has been a good friend of mine for a long time, like a bunch of us going to go hang out. Her birthday is like a couple days after mine. So they were doing this birthday thing at the bowling alley because the bowling alley happened to be having this like customer appreciation day where it's like 50 cent shoe rental, $1 games and $1 draft beers. I was like, really? Oh, right on. This would be fun. And it's from like 2 to 6. You get there at like 2:30. We left at like 6:30, 7-ish, and we accomplished two games.
Oh my god.
Like they paid for it. We accomplished two games. We were fucking smash drunk. Like it was, and of course you get there. I'm like, dollar draft, fuck yeah, right on. I realized like 3-4 drafts into it that like I don't drink beer really. Like I'm just gonna skip to liquor, and you know, middle of the afternoon, just hammered, drunk, fucking like we kept getting yelled at. Like the guy kept coming down and accusing us of cheating at bowling, which I don't quite understand what we were doing to cheat and why
cheated at bowling.
Yeah, well, and I think it was because fucking my buddy Tom kept fucking with the scoreboard.
Like, are you scoring inefficiently?
He kept like getting in and editing the scores and fucking everything up, and it, like, but apparently, like, this dude keeps coming. He's like, you're cheating at bowling. I'm like, really? Like, this is customer appreciation day, and we're all playing for fun. Like, all he's cheating is us. How is this bothering you? But yeah. we keep getting yelled at for cheating at bowling. So we continue to get hammered at the fucking bowling alley. And then the plan was, since that was, you know, that ends at 6, and then the movie didn't start till 9, we were going to, like, you know, all kind of disperse, go grab a bite to eat, maybe take a fucking nap, and then go fucking Iron Man fucking 9. Well, it turned into we were still drinking at the fucking bar in the bowling alley. And then we're like, oh, we should go get some food before the fucking movie starts. So we go to Pizza Hut.
Oh, nice.
All of us sitting at Pizza Hut. There's probably, like, in our group, there's probably, like, fucking, you know, 8-9 people. So I'll go to Pizza Hut. We're sitting there fucking drinking, having a good time. Because they serve beer at Pizza Hut, which, thank
you. Oh, my God, you're drinking in Pizza Hut. This is awesome.
Of course.
We're just
the grease is so proud.
Beautiful. It helped so much too. Like, and I do remember this one point, like they have these things at Pizza Hut called like K-Papas or something. They're like some sort of fucking like, it's almost like a stuffed fucking like jalapeno poppers, but it's like potatoes with like jalapenos and cheese in it. And I kept just fucking, I was floored by these things. I'm saying, they're like electric tater tots. These are fucking. I was so fucking stoked. Stupid fucking electric tots. It was ridiculous. So I'm just I'm like, you guys can suck a dick, eat all the pizza you want. I'm eating these things, and just being an asshole in Pizza Hut. So then we get done eating, and we're like, oh, all right. Well, the movie starts in like an hour, and you know the movie theater. I live in a small town. The movie theater's like fucking 2 blocks from Pizza Hut. We're like, hey, let's stop at a liquor store and let's just tailgate the fucking movie.
Oh my god.
So we stop at a liquor store. Now, like, I literally spent, like, on my birthday, after, you know, aside from the fact that, like, everybody and their brother bought me fucking drinks and shit like that, I personally spent, like, $150 on fucking food.
God.
On my own birthday, because, like, if somebody wasn't there quick enough with a cocktail or, you know, I'm like, oh, fuck it. Yeah, let's buy everybody one. So we go to the liquor store, and I grab, like, a 4-pack of Red Bull and a bottle of vodka because we're heading to the movie theaters to go watch Iron Man in 3D, mind you. So we get to the fucking – we get to the movie theater, and we've got, like, an hour, 45 minutes before the fucking movie starts. So we're just tailgating, just fucking hanging out in the parking lot, getting fucking hammered drunk the whole time. We do some more drinking, and then we go inside, and some dude shows up in, like, this gnarly, the most ridiculous fucking, like, cosplay Iron Man outfit I've ever seen. Like, his eyes were fucking glowing.
What?
His his fucking palm, his chest, his hand, like, had, like, crazy, like, LED lights in him and shit. Like, gnarly-ass fucking, like, cosplay costume. And fucking, yeah, of course, I had to harass him for a little bit. So then we go inside. And my girlfriend gives me a fiance, whatever, gives me my fucking, my 3D glasses. I put them on and I'm like, oh, this is not going to go over well. Like, I'm just putting these things on in the dark theater is already giving me the spin. Finally, the fucking previews start and the movie starts and I cannot focus on what's going on. And all I remember thinking is, like, this is terrible. Like, the 3D.
See, do you even remember anything of the movie?
The only thing I remember about Iron Man, the entire fucking movie, is that at one point fucking Don Cheadle showed up in a fucking like red, white, and blue fucking Iron Man suit. That's it.
That's all you remember.
And I don't know why that stuck out in my head. I just remember seeing the image on the screen, and that's the apparently that's the only time my brain fired.
So are you sure that that was from the actual movie, or is that just something you're remembering from a preview that you would have seen at some point?
Or was it a black guy in an Iron Man suit that came as the cosplay? You're like, Iron Man ain't black. What are you doing?
Your suggestions are, like, actually are more logical than the in my head. Like, that's all I seem to remember from the movie. Like, I'm watching this thing, and I'm like, this 3D is shit. Like, I see. So, at one point, I'm completely toned out of this fucking movie. And I love Iron Man. I was all stoked to see it, too. But I'm so toned out. Like, I'm just all, no, there's no fucking way. I can't even see right now. And my girlfriend starts getting frisky. And she wants to go bang in the bathroom. One of those things apparently I like doing when, you know, I'm getting a year older and I don't want to be old anymore. So I'm going to pretend I'm 20. And so nice. She starts getting frisky. She's like, go do it in the bathroom. And I was just like, I have to pee. And then we'll do that. So we get up and
because right?
You know because, you're old when.
Because otherwise that activity is reserved for when we get home.
Oh, wait. It gets better. So we get up and we head to the fucking bathrooms, right? And fuck, I'm just all, I'm going to take a leak and then I'm going to fucking bang my girlfriend in the bathroom. This is going to be great. And then I go in, I go pee, and she's kind of waiting in the hallway for me. And I come back out of the bathroom, and she starts walking towards the door of the girls' bathroom, and she's doing that, like, walking backwards, like, she's like, come on. And all of a sudden, I'm just all, I don't have my phone. she's just like, come here, and doing the whole, like, come hither, fucking, like, you know, with the finger, and she's like, come here, and I was like, no, like, I'm not kidding. I don't have my phone. And I turn around and I take off back to the fucking theater. Like, she's trying to, like, coerce me into the bathroom to have sex with her. And I'm just like, you, I don't have my phone. And so.
So wait a minute. Kevy?
Yes?
So you'll blow off two-headed giant for just being able to look and touch at boobies, but you will turn down sex to go find your phone, which you could have turned around and just called later, at, you know.
This is how Kevy ranks things in his life, okay?
Hey. Okay, hold on. In all fairness, like, the phone's expensive.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And
like, he can't get sex when he gets home.
Exactly. See?
Not if she's pissed off because he turned her down.
Yep.
So, no, it gets...
it gets better.
So the story keeps going, right? So, I panic because I can't find my phone. I leave my fucking girlfriend walking into the bathroom horny because I'm fuck this. I got to go find my iPhone. And I bail back to the movie theater. Now, okay, like you guys have all been there where you're just – you're that drunk. I mean, like things are – you know, if you were walking through a lit building, like it's hard enough. But then you walk into a fucking you've been out in the lobby and in the bathroom and shit like that, and you walk into a dark movie theater where all you can see is – Iron Man jumping all over the fucking screen. And it's like, oh, I have no idea where we were sitting. Like, I have a general idea, but, like, fuck, this is going to be hard. So I finally, like, I have to look like the biggest jackass on the planet, like, fucking, you know, squatting and trying to feel my way down the aisle so I can find our seats. And I finally find our seats. And luckily, her and I were sitting, like, on the end of the aisle, so it was just the first two seats there. And I'm looking all over the floor. Now all my friends are still sitting there right next to where our seats were. And I'm sure they have a good idea of what's going on. Like, me and Sarah are just like, oh, hey, let's go bang in the bathroom. And so they're sitting there trying to pretend that they don't know what the fuck's going on. But then all of a sudden I come back by myself and I'm crawling around on the floor. I finally find my phone. I'm like, fucking sweet. I stand back up, and my girlfriend had just come down the aisle, and I was like, I found it. So we sit back down in the chair. I put my 3D glasses back on, and all of a sudden, everything is in real 3D. It's not like fucking the shit I was watching before.
It's real 3D.
There's a very good chance that the shitty 3D I was seeing through the first half of the movie, I probably just had my sunglasses on.
That's hilarious.
Because I, all of a sudden, like, when I sat back down, I'm like, oh, this is 3D as fuck. It's this motherfucker standing right in front of me. This is awesome. And I was way stoked about it. But I also started thinking back to like all, I could probably go bang my girlfriend now. And I have no idea what's going on in this movie. So she's still frisky. I'm frisky. I'm like, fuck this. Let's go. I was like, hey, do you want to just go out and do it in the parking lot? And she's all for it. So we bounce again. Oh, my poor friends are sitting there next to us this whole fucking time. And they see us get up, leave, come back, you know, and then we get up and leave again and take off out towards the fucking parking lot. We head out to the parking lot. I realize as soon as we walk out the fucking door, I'm like, I have no idea where my ticket stub is or anything like that. So we're not getting back into this theater. So we go off around the corner to my friend John's fucking truck, and it's like Chevy Silverado, and proceed to start banging on the tailgate of the truck. Like, just, you know, sit down on the tailgate. I grab some of the booze that was still sitting in the back of the truck. Start drinking on that. We start getting frisky. We do our fucking thing. We start going at it on the back of the truck. And then we go realize that, like, you know, we're doing this just fucking straight up out in public. So let's go check and see if the truck's unlocked. So we check and see if the truck's unlocked. And it is. Like, the back seat of the truck is unlocked. So we, instead of getting in the truck and doing it, we just open the door and start banging on the side of the bench. Like still out in the fucking public open air. We get done. Everything's wonderful. Climb into the truck. Start getting dressed. I put my pants on. Everything's fucking good. My girlfriend's drunk as shit too, and she can't figure out how to put her pants on. She's not figure out how the hell this is working. Can't get her fucking pants on. And I shit you not, I swear this on my fucking life. I know this sounds made up. All of a sudden we're sitting, and luckily now the doors are closed. We see a cop car rolling through the fucking, like through the parking lot, spotlighting all over the place. And I was like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. They pull up and they come up right behind us, like not fucking around, like right up near the back bumper of the truck. And they're fucking spotlighting all over the place. I'm shitting myself. I'm like, great. I'm going to jail for public banging on my birthday. This is fucking wonderful. Like, so they, like, they're shining their spotlight all over the place. And now I had to be like, somebody called in. They're like, yeah, there's two people banging in the parking lot. Go find them.
Yeah, you know it, right?
And they're shining their light all over the place. And it, you know, they're parked right behind us. And then as I'm panicking, I'm like, we can get away with this if you just get your fucking pants on. It's like, I can't figure it out. Like, she can't get her fucking, I'm trying to help her fucking pants on. I'm like, we can at least pull off the whole, like, oh, we just got sick of the movie and came out here or something. But if you don't have any pants on, they're going to know exactly what was happening and we're fucked. And then they drive away and start spotlighting all over the rest of the parking lot. And I was like, my fucking heart is just pounding out of my fucking chest. I'm like, God damn it, I don't need to fucking go to jail again.
Yeah, again.
Like, I'm waiting for you to turn around and say, and with all of that blood pumping through my veins, I got rock hard again and gave it to her in the ass this time. Yeah. Seriously?
I don't have enough of that for it. Like, I just, at that point, I was just like, you're kidding me. They left. Oh my God. We just, oh, God damn it, woman. I could have killed you. And I was just, and she's just like, I can't. And she finally gets her fucking pants on. Cops are gone now. They've left. We get out. She's got her pants on inside out. And it's like, God damn it. Awesome. Okay. You know what? I don't even give a shit anymore. Like, we got away with not getting arrested. I don't give a shit. Your pants are backwards. Just turn them inside out. Fuck, put them back on. So we get our pants back on. We sit down in the back of the truck and realize that, like, you know, we're kind of locked out of the movies now and we're just going to have to wait this out. And the next thing I remember is us getting woke up, passed out. Like, I'm using her ass as a pillow and we're passed out on the back fucking seat of the truck. And our friends show up and they're like, oh, we found you guys. Look. And we're like, yeah. Like, we came out here and we couldn't get back in, so we decided to take a nap. And they're like, yeah. Yeah, sure you did. So then they wake us up and now all of a sudden I'm wide the fuck awake again.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
We head far.
Oh my God, Kevy, your liver. Holy shit, dude.
But TJ is my old stomping ground. So we
He's
had to.
He's still in his 20s. It's all right.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
22, man. Fuck.
Oh, God. You're a fucking baby. Jesus Christ. Carry
Did
on.
Did you say 22?
Yes. No,
Jesus.
22 plus a couple. But we won't go into those here.
But I've been telling everybody I just turned 22. But so we head to the bar, get some more smash at the bar. I threaten to fight all sorts of people in the bar. Because at this point, I'm just, oh, I'm fucking invincible. And I keep trying to fight everybody in the bar. My friends won't let it happen. And to fucking cap the night off, we finally, the bar closes. Now, this is the part that just blows my mind. We went to the bowling alley and started drinking. It was like fucking 2:30 in the afternoon. The bar closes. So that means it's 2 o'clock. And I'm just all, hey, guys, I got booze in my house. Let's just go back there and we'll play some golf on the fucking PlayStation. So,
golf on the PlayStation.
Tiger Woods, y'all.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
We come back to my house and we start golfing. It's got to be like fucking 3 o'clock now. We start golfing and we're in the middle of like there's four of us playing. Everybody else is kind of sitting around drinking. My buddy Tom's girlfriend is a bartender, so she's just fucking wrecking shop in the kitchen. All of our booze, all of our mixers, she's just like making this, try this, making this, try this. We're all fucking hammered. We should not be awake anymore. And we're all golfing. You know, me, Sarah, John, his wife, Mary, are the four people that are playing. And all of a sudden I looked down, like I, you know, I must've spaced off for a minute or maybe gone to the bathroom or something. And I looked down.
Spaced off or gone to the bathroom. Awesome.
But because like we were playing and everything was fine. And I looked down in front of me like it's, oh, hey, it's my turn. Oh, hey, give me the controller. And I looked down and my girlfriend has got a pillow and a blanket between us and the TV and is face down, pass out. And I was just like, right on, let's just scoot back a little bit so we don't kick her. We finish our games, and then I ended up passing out at like fucking 4 o'clock in the morning. So I had
epic birthday.
Epic, beautiful epic birthday for it just being like, oh, hey, let's go bowling and then go see Iron Man. And then all that shit happened.
It turned out pretty good.
Man, yeah, that's.
And then thankfully fucking Sunday, I didn't have to do shit all day. I just laid on the fucking couch. I'm like, I hate my life. Oh God, I don't need to do myself anymore. And then I turn around and I do it again all week because I, you know, I have to podcast. Usually I podcast on Mondays and Wednesdays. Tonight where I'm doing both of them. So Monday I didn't have to do shit. Monday I got to like relax more after work. And then Tuesday night is band practice. Band practice last night, I decided after practice to go by my singer Jason's house, and we sat there and had a few drinks, and then we started getting into this whole, like, he works out with one of those kettlebell things, and he's telling me all about it. He's like, dude, that's how those motherfuckers from fucking 300 got all yoked. He's like, check this out, and he starts showing me the workout. Yeah, I decided to do that last night while I was drunk. My arms don't work. Yeah, alcohol problem, man. Like the booze tells me to do dumb shit, like fucking bang my girlfriend in the parking lot of the movie theaters, or fucking hey, let's do a kettlebell workout at fucking 10 o'clock at night while you're hammered.
Like, that's just crazy shit. Yeah. Oh man,
that was my wonderful fucking birthday story. I'm still alive, obviously.
I made it. Yeah, what would you wish on your birthday? Just to survive. I want to make it through to the next day. All right, well, that was good. I mean, I think we should move to Shadows because the show's getting far off in the distance here. I'll go first. I got to give Kevin Metal a shadow because it's his birthday, and it sounds fucking epic. And I got to give Scotty Mac a shadow because it was his birthday last weekend because fucking everybody's getting shadows for birthdays.
Hell yeah.
I'm gonna give the Booze Cube a shout out because I don't know when his birthday is, but since I'm on a birthday shout out kick, fucking shout outs for your birthday and fair.
You know, Maddie,
Maddie,
it seems like you're just reading the Skype screen and giving shout outs.
No, exactly. If you were reading the Skype screen and doing shout outs, this would be like shout out to the Department of Justice.
Shrubbery.
Shout out to Shrubbery. Yes.
Shrubbery. story.
All I gotta say is the Skype screen. If you all those people who listen, there's a second show that happens, and the show is the Skype text comments. They'll never be published because shit happens there that's just too raw for radio. But shout out to Shrubbery and Rules of Marriage because that's what keeps us going.
I need to get a wire or like a wired headset again because I have too much freedom to wander around my house while I'm talking. And then I never sit back down in front of the computer and then I miss all of the shit that you guys have had to say show notes comments.
It's probably better that way because I'm fairly convinced that with your borderline ADD personality, if you were to actually like see all the shit that we were typing about you while you were talking,
you wouldn't talk.
Probably not talk.
Either that or he would be saying
either stop
it
talking or that would have taken another 2 hours for me.
Yeah,
to tell
seriously.
He'd just start reading it, you know, like, Kevin, don't read that shit.
Don't read it.
Yeah, like for example, like every time I hear you say motorcycle club, I can't help but think of Sons of Anarchy, and then I'm like, oh, now I know where you get all your blow from. Like it's just like stupid shit like that. I'm like, oh, that was so much fun.
Oh God, I love.
He's drinking. See that? You made him spit his shit at the kid.
It's okay. I've talked about hookers and blow on like so many occasions. It's so funny. Yeah, it's like gin and tonic, except it's hookers and blow. It's a thing.
All right, Scotty, what are your shout-outs?
Oh, fuck.
Like, my shout-outs are really simple. Like, so first and foremost, like, I have to shout-out.
Innocent gun. No.
Nope. My wife gets shout-out before the booze.
Nice.
Aww.
I don't know. So I'm actually, like, the world's greatest husband.
You are.
It's a tough drag. Like,
it is self-proclaimed world's greatest husband. I love it.
It's a tough drag. Do you know what I did before starting this show tonight?
Gave her a massage.
No. I dyed my wife's hair tonight.
No, right, nice.
Seriously. Like, that's
nice job, man.
That's the sort of thing that guys do, you know?
Yep. It's true. That
good.
I leave that to the other roommate, though.
What?
I said I leave that to the other roommate. I let him get his hands all messy.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I've got one of those, but I let him do the gardening.
That's fair.
Yeah, I have one of those too. It's pretty sweet. He's not a roommate, but he used to be. But yeah, I have one of those too. Anyway, so shout out to my wife, because she's like, without her permission, I wouldn't have been able to come on tonight. But, you know, because sometimes you gotta commit to the wives. Kevin, you don't understand this, but you will one day when you finally get that leash, like,
saved
in.
I will say, like, this will be my second marriage. I'm just reading through the fucking comments.
Yeah.
Like, the fucking.
Hold on. In all fairness though, if you were married, if you were already married at 22, the first time you just fucking did it wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not actually 22, Scott. I'm 32.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, he just says he's 22.
I just say I'm 22.
I am definitely drunk then.
Yeah.
Because no, I remember me and Kevin had this conversation before. He's the same age I am.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I love it.
I thought I was like that much older than you guys. Jesus.
Nah.
All right. Cheerfully withdrawn.
Yeah.
Anyways, so shout out to my wife. Not withdrawn.
Not withdrawn.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys, for having me on. Like, I have been listening to you guys since the beginning, and I really enjoyed last episode in particular. You know, I got a couple props, and that was good, and I always like that. You know, any man likes a little bit of the ego stroke, because if they don't, they're probably a pussy. But yeah, it was, like, super awesome to be on, and Booze Cube at my place on the long weekend. So if you're interested and actually in Toronto and I know you, drop me a line.
And I know you.
Yeah.
I don't want people showing up in my house.
I know you. Yeah, because like strangers, I'll give you a wrong address. Not going to lie. Yeah. But yeah, it's going to be pretty awesome. So, and actually like super awesome shout out. Like, so Scott, I don't know if I've actually appropriately thanked you for all of the amazing things that you've actually done for me throughout the course of my life, but thank you. Like seriously and unabashedly, thank you.
On that, that's a good shout out. Welcome.
All right.
Absolutely.
So yeah, and shout out to my boys, of course, like all like Medina, Boosh, KYT, love you all, and I would not be where I am in this community without all of you. So super huge thanks to everybody and all of you that support my stream. That's fantastic. So, like, I know in our show notes we've got a couple shout-outs. The Ruckus, you've been watching my stream.
Yes,
you've been religiously following my stream.
Yes, religiously following.
The Ruckus is our man, though. Like,
yeah, he's awesome.
He's ours, Scotty. You leave him the fuck alone.
So I'm gonna shout out everybody who ended up putting submissions for this contest.
Yes.
You know, I mean, if it isn't the community, and really all of us for all of our shows, if it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't have what we really have.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be what it is. So thank you.
It would be basically me and Ferret listening to Kevy tell drunken stories. We'd be laughing our ass off.
We would do this anyway, but like it's awesome that you guys are there to fucking to do this with us and listen to it.
Yep. So what about you, Booze Cube Scott? What do you got? Any shout outs to the world?
All right. So shout out to my buddy Nate, who is on his honeymoon right now. We did the Booze Cube as his bachelor party.
That's a good idea.
Oh, yeah.
I passed out after two games.
I'm not the only one.
Well, I drafted Necropotent, Juan the Mind Smasher, and Stone to Death.
Oh my god.
So I
oh wow.
I drank about half a liter of vodka in two games.
That's hardcore shit.
And, I don't really remember much after that. However, I did have a huge turn with Juan the Mind Smasher.
What happened? Tell me quick.
Well, I drafted, it was a black, green, splash of blue.
Sure.
But, I wasn't getting anything, like nothing, until I had Necropotent in hand. I was just nothing. I finally got a third land, and then I just drank a lot and drew 18 cards, or 20 cards, or however many cards, I don't even know.
That's
used one of the Mind Smasher, untapped all, doubled my mana.
Oh, shit.
And I played a lot of cards, and then I lost because I didn't have enough flyers.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, but anyway, but shout out to Nate, who's out in on the West Coast right now. He's doing his honeymoon thing. Shout out to my buddy AJ, who gave me like 40 Avacyn Restored foil random commons, which are really easy to blank. And I'm putting those into Booze Cube foils.
Nice.
Ooh. All right. Well, I think it would be only fitting if we let someone on the cache send us off and only heavy metal style that we know how, and I think that man must be Scotty Mac.
Yeah. Hell yeah, we got him on the fucking cache. We have to let him fucking send us off.
So Scotty, in your best Iron Man, Anchor Man, in your best Iron Man Anchor voice, end this fucking episode.
I'm really honored.
It's good. Yeah, you piece of shit.
He's all tearing up.
All right.
Yeah, okay, ready, here comes. Ready?
Yep.
Go fuck yourself, San Diego!
See, that's the one person that actually did it right. Everybody else, all you people that did it before, that's how you fucking end heavy meta. Nicely
God,
done,
right.
Sir.
I'm pretty sure he did it better than I do.
Yeah, actually, we might have a job opening soon if you don't want to. If Kevin keeps drinking like this.
Yeah, if you could just show up at the end of the episode and close us off while I'm hammered drunk, face down on the table.
Yeah, we get the text.
It's recorded. It's like, hit the loop and call it a day.
All right, guys. Well, that was a good one. Thanks for coming on, man. Thanks for everybody coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for coming out. That was fucking awesome. That was a great episode. Fuck and now yeah. I've got to do a whole nother one.
What are you going to talk about now?
Exactly. That's the shitty part of it. Every once in a while I have to do Public Enemies after I do fucking Heavy Metal. And I'm like, well, I can't really talk about it. I'm like, well, I could tell that same story all over again. Yay.
All right, guys. Well, I got to go. Freaking early morning for me.